tonight's shiur in Parshas Kiseitze. Sedra begins, Kiseisein l'milchama l'evecha. Farshim point out there's a remez here to besides the physical war, but the milchama of the Yetzer Hara. Ben Ishchai explains one of the ramazim based on a maisa, which was used as a mashal. And there was once an astrologer that he was very close to the king. But what happened, he got into some disagreement with the king. The king, he got on his bad side. And one day the king decides, I'm killing the astrologer. That's it, I'm doing away with him. However, he couldn't just out of the blue, you know, say, I'm killing you. He had to find a pretext, reason. So he said, he questioned his ability to be an astrologer. And he said, I'll tell you what. He says, if you can tell me when you're going to die, the king says to the astrologer, if you can tell me when you're going to die, and you know, you hit the nail on the head, then fine, you're okay. If not, I'm going to kill you. So the astrologer thought for a few minutes, and he realized he was doomed. Why? Because if he was going to say, okay, I'm going to die tomorrow, obviously, he's not going to die, and then the king says, you're wrong, he's going to kill. LMI, what are you going to say? The astrologer can say, I'm going to die in 50 years from now, and he doesn't have to worry. No, because what is the king going to do? He'll shoot him on the spot and say, see, you were wrong. So he was stuck. So he was, besides being an astrologer, he had to be a very wise man, and he came out with an ingenious comeback. What did he do? He said to the king, okay, you want me to tell you when I'm going to die? I'm going to die 3 days before you. Now what? So the king says, started thinking, 3 days. In other words, whenever this guy dies, 3 days later, it's my turn. So what happened? Instead of stalking him and wanting to kill this astrologer, the exact opposite happened. He gave him bodyguards. He gave him the best doctors. Because he knew if he dies 3 days later, it could be him. So he ended up being his biggest protection. So too says the Ben Ishchai, that's the how you have to operate sometimes with the Yetzer Hara. You know, you got to use him. You know, be, laugh it. Be, use how so? In other words, let's say the Yetzer Hara says, "Hey, what are you buying this esrog for? It costs money. You say, "Fine, costs money." Yeah, okay. So I'm but also ice cream costs money. So if you don't want to spend money, I can't spend money on ice cream either. Okay, it's got to be. Or the Yetzer Hara says, it's hard to get up in the morning. I can't get up in the morning, you know, for davening. It's hard. So you say, fine, you're lazy. So fine, so you have to be lazy to sin also. Don't do any averas. You're lazy, so be lazy to sin also. In other words, use the Yetzer Hara. Says that's the Vishavisa Shivyu. Should capture him, you take him hostage. Take the Yetzer Hara and use him for the Avodas Hashem. There's a mention of the mitzvah of giving the firstborn boy, a bechor, gets a double portion, right? He has a bechor, ben asnua, yakir lasis lo pishnai. So the Gemara in 7 Bava Basra, daf kuf mem aleph, says, bas tchila siman tov labanim. That when the first child is a girl, that's a good siman, it's a siman tov for the boys that follow. The question is, why? What's a siman tov? So some say that when there's the girl's first, so she knows that the Chazal tell us that when you want to marry a girl, you have to look at her brothers, right? Because your children are going to come out like her brothers. So therefore, the girl is going to make very sure that her brothers are very good, because she knows that her shidduch is depending on her brothers. So therefore, paschila siman tov labanim, she's going to take care of her brothers. The Marsha says something very simple. Marsha says the reason why it's a siman tov labanim is because if it wasn't a bas tchila, it would be a ben tchila. If the first would be a boy, what would happen? The boy would get double inheritance. Mele, inevitably, there starts jealousy. Oh, he gets double, I didn't get double, so there's fights or whatever. When there's a girl first, there's no double there, so therefore everybody gets an equal share, all the boys. Mele, it's bas tchila, it's a siman tov labanim. Find many mitzvahs in the Sedra. One of them is the mitzvah Shavas Aveda, Hashev Teshivim. It's the Maisa Rav Masefer Chaim Sheyesh Behem. We mentioned last week Rav Eliyahu Chaim Meisel, the Rav of Lodz, his Chochmah. So we have another example of it this week. There was once a Jew that found on the street a wallet. He opens it up and he sees 1,000 rubles. Tremendous amount of money, 1,000 rubles. So he says, wow, you know. He comes home and he sees in the paper an ad that somebody lost a wallet with 1,000 rubles. And the person put in the ad that whoever returns the wallet will get a 100 ruble reward. So he saw it was some very wealthy paritz, a goyish landowner. And so he had said, well, wonderful, make yourself 100 rubles. So he goes to the goy and he says, okay, I found your wallet, and here it is. So the first he said, oh, thank you so much, it's very good, wonderful, I'm so happy, So he takes the wallet and naturally just, opens it up, make sure everything's there, and he counts the money, and all of a sudden he gets very angry. He's angry at the yid, and he says, what is this? What's the meaning of this? He says, what, I'm returning your wallet? What do you mean you're returning your wallet? There are 2,000 rubles in this wallet, there's only 1,000 in here. He says, well, that's all I found. Yeah, right, you gun of you took 1,000 rubles, give me back. He says, no, that's all, no. Anyway, by now the Jew was shaking in his boots. So he didn't, wasn't thinking of, asking for the 100 rubles. He was just hoping to get out of there in one piece. So he just said, whatever. And the goy said, no, that's it, you're not going to hear the end of this, and I'm going to take you to court. You stole 1,000 rubles, which was all over, a libel. It wasn't true, of course, but I'm taking you to court. Okay. So sure enough, he gets a court order. He has to go to court for the, with this against this goy. So he doesn't know what to do. So he goes to Rav Meisel, and he says, Rebbe, can you help me with this one? So Rav Meisel says, okay, I'll help you out. But first, I just want to let you know why this is happening to you. So you know why this is happening to you? You don't have to return a lost object of the goy. He said, but if you're mele, you're doing the mitzvah, so you have to do it l'shem shemayim. He says, you did the mitzvah because you wanted the 100 rubles. So you didn't do it l'shem shemayim, this is what happens. If you would have done it altruistically, not for the money, it would have been different. Okay, that's why it happened. Now, how to get out of this mess? He says, you're going to have a lawyer? He says, yeah. He says, send your lawyer to me, I'll tell him what to say. Fine. So, the lawyer comes, whatever, has the meeting, then they go to court. So, of course, the king's there, this tells a story, this Jew found his wallet, now 2,000 rubles in it, now he's returning it, only 1,000. So the defense attorney, of the Jew, he says, that's not true, whatever. So the king says, no, it's 2,000 rubles. So what does the Jewish lawyer say? He says, are you prepared, Mr. Paritz, to swear that there were 2,000 rubles in that wallet? Are you prepared to swear to it? And he says, of course I am. And he swears, it's 2,000. Thank you, says the defense attorney. He says, why? He says, Your Honor, tells the judge, this man just swore there was 2,000 rubles in the wallet. Okay, there's 2,000 rubles. Now, this my client over here, this Jew, he found the wallet. Now, somebody that's a gunav, he doesn't go returning lost objects. You find a wallet with money in it, you don't go returning it, you keep it. If there were 2,000 rubles in it, he would have just kept the 2,000 rubles. What's this idea of giving back a wallet that with some of them? Just keep it if you're a gunner. Elamai, it must be that my client is not a thief, because otherwise he wouldn't have returned anything. So what's the story? But this guy just swore there were 2,000 rubles, it was only 1,000. It must be that it was not the same wallet. Must be a different wallet. He swore there was 2,000. Fine, it was 2,000 a wallet. This wallet he found only one. It has to be a different wallet. So therefore, I'm asking that he return the wallet with 1,000 rubles to my client because it's not the right wallet. Says the judge, you're right. He made the pirates give 1,000 rubles in the wallet to the yid and came out with the advice of Rav Meisel. Okay. I have also in the center the mitzvah of tzitzis, gedilim tasela chalarba kanfas ksuscha. There's a certain mitzvahs that are like tzitzis, one of the mitzvahs that one has to say standing up. So some want to bring a remez that there's three mitzvahs like that, and they are Sfirasa Omer, Tzitzis, and Tfilin. And they have found a remez in the Pasuk in Mishle, Atzas Hashem, He Sakum. Atzas Ayin Sadik Taf is Omer, Tzitzis, and Tfilin. Atzas Hashem, He Takum, Lakum. You have to get up when you say these three mitzvahs. Others want to add four other mitzvahs, and they are Eruv, Kiddush Levana, Lulav, and Mila, that have to be said standing as well. They add to the list. And they found another pasuk for this. That is, Atzas Hashem Le'olam Tamud. Again, here Atzas is Eruv, Tzitzis, and Tfilin. Hashem Le'olam Lamed Ayin Lamed Mem is Lamed is Levana, Kiddush Levana. And Ayin is Omer again. Lamed is Lulav, and Mem is Mila. And here again, Atzas Hashem Le'olam, those are the seven mitzvahs to be said standing. Ta'amod, you have to do it standing up. The psukim mention how when a person brings a korban, he has to be careful that it comes from a pure source, not a mechir kelev, etc. Kidor has Hashem, gam shneihem. So when a Kodesh Baruch Hu sees that a person really wants to do his best and bring his korbanas, do his mitzvahs from with a pure source, the Kodesh Baruch Hu helps in turn the person do so. There's a maisa brought in Otzer HaMaisius. He was once a Talmud Chacham, and he was a big masmid. Then he worked on the side, a little parnasa, but had his ups and downs. So one time, when he was on a down, and had no money in the house, and Thursday rolled around, they had no money for Shabbos. So he turns to his wife, and he says, "Listen, it says Asay Shabbos Chaschah." Shabbat Chatchol ve'al titzarech lebriyot. You know, sometimes you just gotta make your Shabbos like a weekday, and I guess that's what can I have to do this Shabbos. What can we do? So his wife says, what do you mean? You mean no chalas, no wine for Kiddush, what kind of a Shabbos is going to be? So he says, what can you do? You know, I don't know, I'm not going to start taking money from people. What can we do? So she's all upset and crying, and she goes to sleep. Meanwhile, the Talmud Chacham stays awake learning, and he accepts his, that's Kadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon, we're learning. So, during the evening, he has to go to the bathroom. So, they didn't have like a bathroom in the house. He had to go to some public outhouse. So, he goes outside and he goes to the bathroom, and lo and behold, with all the dirt, let's call it, he sees something shining over there. And he bends down and, closes his nose, whatever, picks it up, and it's a gold coin. And he says, I don't believe it. How do you like that? Kodesh Baruch Hu helps. I needed no money for Shabbos. I found a gold coin. So he washes it off, of course, cleans it up. And so as he's, back in his house, about to return to his Gemara, he's going to tell his wife what happened, and I'm sure she should be happy. He started thinking to himself, he says, on the other hand, he says, How can I use this coin for Shabbos? The Halakha Shabbos, the Kedusha, the Main Olam Haba, and I'm using this coin that was in the dirt in the, how can I use this for Shabbos? He says, I can't use it for Shabbos. So he decided, he said, my Yetzer Hara, on this one, he's going to go, how can I not? So he decided there's only one way to avoid the Yetzer Hara, and he made a neder that this money is going to stop. Because that's it. Neder's a neder, he can't use it anymore for his needs, and finished. Now he's calm. This maisa was made rash in Shemayim. Right? Unbelievable. He needed the money so badly, but because where he found it, it wasn't clean, he couldn't use it for Shabbos. And he did. So in Shemayim, he said, we're going to help this guy. What happened? So he continues learning, and there's a knock on the door. Opens the door, and there are two businessmen there. And said, excuse me, Rabbi Yehudi, maybe you can help us out. We're stuck, nowhere to go, and nowhere to sleep. Maybe you can put us up for the night. So they said, we'll pay you well. He says, you can sleep here, no problem. I'm not taking any money. Mitzvah, no money. You can sleep here, though. He says, oh, thank you so much. So they, two businessmen, went to sleep. And they're talking to each other. They say, you know, this guy's such a tzaddik. He's like, you can tell he looks like a tzaddik, and he does mitzvahs and take money. Unbelievable. He says, you know, maybe he can solve our problem. They had a machlokes, they're business partners, and they had a machlokes about a certain sum of money who belonged to this one, that one, and they started getting, you know, very heated, and they realized they're going to get home, and then their wives are going to get involved with it. It's going to be a big mess. So they decided, you know, maybe we'll ask this guy over here to mediate between us and maybe make a pshara, you know, help us out over here. So they said, the other guy said, great idea. So they go back to the yid, and they said, we have a problem, maybe you can hear us out and decide who's right, what to do. He says, okay, go ahead. So they told us, and he says, here, let me think about it, let me sleep about it, on it, and I'll let you know in the morning. Fine, morning rolls around, he said, okay, I thought about it, and he gives them a pshara, you know, makes up between the two. So they were so impressed, and they said, thank you so much, that they each gave him a gold coin. They left. So he ended up, Kosh Baruch Hu paid him back double, right? He got himself two gold coins. Needless to say, his wife was thrilled, and they all lived happily ever after. The Moiridic story of the Chafetz Chaim. I don't think it's one of the more famous stories known about the Chafetz Chaim, but it's unbelievable. The Chafetz Chaim, he was 16 years old, and he was learning in Vilna with a group of geniuses, Iluim. Okay, himself was a genius at 16, and he was learning with a group of geniuses in Vilna. And every now and then he would go home now to visit. Now, his father died when he was, you know, young, and his mother remarried. So his father, his real father, biological father, was actually a tzaddik who learned in the Shiva of Elazhin, Talmud Shiva of Elazhin. But after he was nifter, his mother remarried, and the man he married said, the Pasha the Yid. And then they lived in Radin, Pasha the Yid from Radin. So what happened was, the Chafetz Chaim once came home to visit, you know, and he's again, he's 16 years old at the time, comes home to visit, and sees his mother, stepfather, and this is the first time he met a stepfather. So stepfather was understandably very impressed, you know, with this young man, and he says his knowledge is he's a dear chair, it's everything, you know, come on, it's Chafetz Chaim. So he turns to his wife, Chafetz Chaim's mother, and says, I want this young man, your son, for my daughter, Shidduch. So she turns white. Says, your daughter? Why? His daughter was 26 years old. That means 10 years older than the Chafetz Chaim. He was 16. She was 26. And says, I want him for my daughter. So the mother said, no way. Besides the fact that he was who he was, so she knew she can get a top-notch shidduch for her son, you know, Chafetz Chaim, who got some very wealthy gvir and support him and learning, whatever. And not only, okay, but in a normal like age gap, but here, 10-year-old, the woman, 10 years old. Anyway, she was fetched, nothing out of it. But what happened? That caused a friction between her and her husband. Right, because he wanted it, and she said no, and then and it got to the point where it's like on the brink of divorce. So the Chafetz Chaim got word of it, and he says, oh my God. So he goes up to his mother, and he says, what's going on? He says, well, can you imagine, wants to marry a daughter? So he says, no, it's fine, it's fine. I want to marry her, it's fine. Because he knew he wanted to save his mother's marriage. So Chafetz Chaim agreed to marry this girl, this woman, right, to save his mother's marriage. And he said, no, I want to marry her. And sure enough, they got married. He married this woman 10 years older than him. And he recalls, we said that he could have had the father-in-law, biggest gvir. They were poor people. He said they were so poor, he remembers, that after they were married, they lived in some little shack without the dirt floor. He says, and for Shabbos, he used to take some sand, which are like little golden in color, and he used to sprinkle it on the dirt floor at Lichvot Shabbos. He goes, that was Lichvot Shabbos. He said, that was, you know, but all the Shem Shemayim. But, mentioned here, I saw, mentioned other place that he had, but in the end, you know, he saw how really was Shem Shem, it was Mina Shemayim, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu paid him well, but he said he attributed all his success and his Sfarim and Shabura and everything was all because of this woman that she pointed, because he said, because she wasn't expecting anything. You know, a rich woman, she expects, but she was a Pashta woman and she was fine with living a simple life, and he said that's how he was able to grow and be who he was. So in the end, Kol HaTova, but unbelievable, God was marry this woman for his sake of his life. Okay, are we holding here? Fine. Right. On the other side of the coin, we have the mitzvah of get, v'chasav la'sefer krisus. There's a maisa brought in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, maisa rav, and the Chaim Volozhin, he once wrote a letter to his daughter. He wrote a letter to his daughter, her name was Chasa. And she was the daughter, she was the wife of the Rav Milida. So whatever, he wrote a certain letter, sent it with this shaliach to his daughter. All of a sudden, he turns to his son, Chaim turns to his son, Yitzchak, and says, quick, come, Yitzchak. He says, what? He says, here, take this letter, run after the shaliach, and when if you catch up to him, I hope you catch up to him, when you catch up to him, stop him, and exchange letters. Take back the letter that I wrote, and give him this one instead. It's urgent. So he says, okay, Abba, you know. So he takes the letter, and runs after the shaliach. So on the way, he's like, wondering, he's like, what's so important in this letter? You know, switch the letters, whatever. Okay, I don't know how or why he was able to do this, but he opened the letter and he read it and he saw, you know, my dear daughter Chasa, how are you? Da da da, nothing, a plain letter. It's just very strange. Give this and take that. Okay, so he was able to catch the shaliach. He stops and he says, "Here, urgent. My father sent me. He wants to exchange. Give this letter to my sister and not the other one. Exchange it. Fine." Okay, so now he was really curious, like what was in the one that was not allowed to get to his sister. So he opens it up and he reads it, and it was exactly the same. How are you? They're exactly the same. He couldn't understand, like, what is going on? So he comes back to his father and says, did you do it? He says, yeah, I exchanged the letter. I gave him the new one, but Abba, you know, to be honest with you, I read both letters and they're exactly the same. Well, what's behind all of this? He says, they're not exactly the same. So he didn't realize, but in the first letter that I sent, I misspelled the name of my daughter, Chasa. He didn't say how he wrote it, but he ad-libbed or whatever. He wrote it with one letter was off. So after the letter was on the way, I realized that, who knows, one day there might be a shaila of a get, and they might have the name Chasa in the get, and they're going to wonder what's the correct spelling. And they might use this letter. They might say, oh yeah, Rav Chaim Volozhin's daughter's name is Chasa. Let's check the way he used to write it. And they might read it, and they might use that, my writing in the letter, and use that in the get, and the get will be possible. So therefore, it was urgent that you switch it with the correct spelling of my daughter's name. So if ever they find it, they'll know the right way to spell. Okay. The Rebbe Migur, the Pnei Menachem, it's once a teacher, a mechanech, came to him and he had to mitietz with him about something. So what happened? He said, there's a boy in the school, in the cheder, whatever, that the other boys are picking on him, and to such a degree that they even started hitting him, giving him makot. So he asked, what should, you know? So the Rebbe said, listen, I want you to tell the boys, you know, that are picking on this kid, tell them the following. Says the Balaturim in Chumash and Shmos Lamed Yud Beis with the Machasit HaShekel, right? It says over there Vinasnu, East Coast for Anafsha. So Vinasnu, the Balaturim says, is read forwards and backwards. Vav Nun Saf Nun Vav, and it reads in both directions. Says the Balaturim, what's the significance of that? So it's coming to teach you that when you're giving tzedakah v'nasnu, it's both directions. You don't lose out. What you give, you get back. You give this way, Hashem gives it to you in another way. V'nasnu, it works both directions. So he said, tell the boys that. Why? Because in this week's Sedrik Yisaitse, it says, v'hikau lefanav kadei rishaso. It talks about giving malchus. The word vihikahu is also vav he kaf he vav. It's written read forwards and backwards. You should tell him, just like v'nasnu, what you get back. So too, if you're going to give this boy malchus, vihikahu, you're going to get it back someday. Also mentioned this sedra, the Indian of Yibum. We'll end with this. There's another Haladik Maisa, Rav Shach, that's all. He once had a question to discuss with Rav Chaim Ozer Grzynski. So he went to his house and he was told that Rav Chaim's not home. He's the doctor said he had to go to some vacation area for rest and for his health. So Rav Shach obviously was urgent what he had on to discuss, so he went to visit Rav Chaim Ozer in the vacation spot. Fine. So he sees him sitting outside with all his Sfarim open, whatever, learning, and he says, you know, you just introduce himself, whatever. And he said, I have to ask Rabbi a question, meet Yez about something. So Chaim Ozer said to Rav Shach, sure, you may let's go for a left, anyways, go for a walk. Now the doctor says, so maybe walk with me and we can discuss. So he says, yeah, sure. So he got up and to go. So Agav, he had all the Sfarim open. And so Rav Shach said, is Rav's going to just leave the Sfarim lying around like this? I mean, who knows? Just leave him something. He might take them, whatever. So Chaim Ozer said, Halavai. Halavai, let people take the Sfarim. They want the Sfarim, let them take the Sfarim. Unfortunately, I don't think anything to worry about. It reminds me of Maisa, heard many, many years ago of a friend. Was told, he said that he says one of his speeches, he mentioned that, you know, goes speaking all over the place, and he says he can't help, you know, to feel a little bit of, you know, guy to get into his heart. You see these big posters, you know, or a friend speaking such and that, you know. So he said, but every now and then, he says, the Kosh Baruch Hu sends me a little to put me in my place. What was the one example of that? He said he had one of a Talmud of his that lived in from Baltimore, and he married a girl from New York. So he ended up, you know, moving to New York after the marriage. And his father is very proud of him, whenever he finished graduated school, this, whatever, and he bought him a brand new car. Fancy brand new car, fully loaded. So he's not used to New York, you know. So he said he didn't lock the car properly, whatever the case might be, it was. And he's not, you know, used to it, the New York lifestyle. And he says he came to this car, and he's told Rav Fran, he said he couldn't believe it. He said the entire car was stripped to nothing. They took everything, a brand new car, stripped to nothing, and nothing left. He said, not exactly nothing left. He said the boy told him the only thing that was left in the car was 10 Rabbi Fran tapes. So he said, that put me in my spot. Anyway, so says Rabbi Chaim, you know, I'll buy people to take the smart. Anyway, so they're going for a walk, and he asked us to, okay, told Rav Shach what he had to say. What happened? That shortly after that came Rosh Hashanah. And of course, Rav Chaim Moshe wanted to get back to Vilna, you know, to his Kehillah, you know, for Rosh Hashanah, understandably. But as things it didn't work out. And he ended up being stuck in this in Rosh Hashanah. This was like a little village, you know, not a shul and that, but it's like a tiny little village. You know, and he'd rather be, of course, in Vilna. But okay, kol min hashamayim, and he was stuck there for Rosh Hashanah. So this guy walks into shul and didn't look familiar. You know, one of the people he's been used to seeing in that little shul. So he approaches him, shalom aleichem, whatever. He says, who are you? So he said, I told him, he says, I'm from America, and I'm passing through up here. Why? He says, because what happened was, he said, I have a brother and lives here in Europe, and he was married, and had a wife and 8 kids and everything, and he suddenly tragically died. And he left my sister-in-law, you know, his wife, with her and 8 kids, and a very difficult matzav. So somebody in America, you know, told me, he says, why don't you go and do mitzvah yibum? this is evil. You marry her, you know. Go marry her. It's a big mitzvah. You know, she's stuck without her husband, they kids, you know. So it's a mitzvah evil. So I said, yeah, you're right. You're right. You know, why not? You know. So that's why I'm here. I'm here. I'm on my way to go to my sister-in-law to marry her. To be evil. So Rav Chaim, you know, turns his wife and says, what are you yibum? So he says, what? He says, you can't do yibum. He says, why not? He says, because your wife has, your sister-in-law has kids. It only, you only yibum if your brother dies without any kids. But she has 8 kids, can I know her? You can't, there's no mitzvah of yibum. So he says, oh, what are you telling me? He says, I only know what's written in the Torah. It says in the Torah, the brother dies, you marry the wife. I don't even know what's written here. What are you telling me? She says, no, you can't. You can't do this. If she has kids, it's asur. You're not allowed. It's forbidden for you to do this. You can't do it. He says, I don't know. What are you telling me? People told me that I can do it, and that's what I've come. I'm doing it. I'm telling you what it says in the Torah. And you can't just tell me not to do it. He said, the only person, he said, I would listen to, he says, if the Rav of Vilna himself would tell me, Rav Chaim Moser would tell me I can't. But besides that, I'm not listening to anybody. He says, pleased to meet you, Chaim Moser. He says, what? So he listened. And so Shach commented, you know, and he said, you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu works, you know, this, he keeps the Rav way at Rosh Hashanah from his big hill in Vilna, in this little village over here, all to save this, he said, this Eglon, you know, from marrying, doing the Yisr of marrying his sister. Shri Zoicha Kulanu to Ksivach Simatoiva Lanu L'cho Yisrael, and also Zoicha to Bias Mishiyat Zikenu, Bimhera V'yamina.